from the birthplace of radio's greatest era. Now, from New York, it's Radio Night Live with Kevin McCullough. Unlike anything else on radio today, it's a front row seat for great information with today's leading experts. Travel with a third generation travel icon, Linda Perillo. The Fox News Medical All-Stars featuring Dr. Mark Siegel, Dr. Marty McCary, Dr. Jeanette Nishwat, and the OG, Dr. Nicole Sapphire. Legal analysis from former prosecutor and court journalism superstar Imran Ansari and Christine Nicholas. The quintessential heartbeat to New York hospitality. All joining legendary broadcast pro Kevin McCullough on a mission unlike any other, united to bring back New York. Now, live from Studio 111, here's Kevin McCullough.
You're listening to Radio Night Live. Kevin McCullough, glad to have you with us. It is a Wellness Wednesday, and as a result, we've got a very special visit straight ahead. And we've got some word of a new sponsor that's coming soon. I'm looking forward to introducing you to 120 Life, something that will help with one of the issues we're going to talk about tonight. Hypertension, blood pressure, you got problems in those areas. There's some encouraging news on the way. We'll get into all that. But let me give you a little news rundown of the top headlines. You've got Israel now genuinely fighting for their life. The Biden administration has stalled shipments of all of the necessary weapons, defensive weapons, to use in its ongoing conflict with Gaza. And it looks like Joe Biden will have not only lost the Afghanistan war for America, looks like he's going to lose the Gaza war for Israel. It's really rather remarkable how effective he is at losing wars, but he's very good at it. And he's saying that this is being done because Israel is being abusive towards the Palestinians. And he actually had or Congress was looking into, I don't know who initiated it, but Congress was looking into how Israel might be abusing weapons in their use in the war with Gaza. Israel, the country that got abused by the weapons of Hamas on October 7th, they continue to fight a very tough battle for their own survival, and I still stand behind them. But there's some big news, and we'll have to get into this tomorrow night with Imran for sure. But in the Jack Smith indictment of former President Trump as it pertains to the Mar-a-Lago records case, man, did they get dealt a blow just yesterday. Take a listen.
Photograph what we have now learned, and the government has had, Jack Smith and his prosecutors have had to admit that was staged, and those top secret classified sheets that all the public saw and said, oh my God, look at those top secret documents, those were placed there by the FBI. What Jack Smith admitted in court this week was that, in his word, they mishandled the classified documents and misrepresented those to the court. Maria, that's a kind way of saying we tampered with the evidence, then we lied to the court about it, and they got caught when President Trump's lawyers and the other co-defendants raised this issue and said, look, the documents here don't match up. The documents that were presented to us don't match the digitally scanned records of when they were taken from Mar-a-Lago. And Jack Smith, not only did they tamper with that and lie to the court about it, but he's now admitted to the court that he doesn't know how that happened. He's only offered a number of possible explanations for how that could have happened. So he's absolutely blown the chain of custody. And again, he has a lead prosecutor in this case, Jay Bratt, who met with White House counsel and a representative of the National Archives in several times in the weeks before Jack Smith was even appointed. This reeks of crossfire hurricane when the Obama-Biden administration fabricated evidence before the FISA court, lied to the court about it to pursue Donald Trump, and now we're seeing it again in this classified documents case. The judge could dismiss this case at any point in time, Maria. I think the only reason that she hasn't is she wants to document this publicly.
Well, and that's a very good understanding of what's going on. And it needs to be documented publicly. Because if Jack Smith, the prosecutor, decided that they were going to tamper with or make up evidence in this case, I don't think he should just, you know, lose that evidence from being able to be used for the case. I think the case is corrupt and needs to be dropped. But we're gonna get some insight on this tomorrow night with Imran Ansari, I'm sure, because there is no doubt that this is, well, it has indefinitely suspended the documents case, the Mar-a-Lago documents case, until a judge says otherwise. It's indefinitely suspended it. So that one's gone. The Supreme Court still hasn't judged on immunity yet, which could be coming down at any point in time. And if they say that the president has a degree of some, Jack Smith could be seeing all of his cases go by the by. It'll be interesting to see just how far they go. I was listening to some very smart lawyers earlier today. Hugh Hewitt and Andy McCarthy were talking, and they kind of both believe there's going to be some sort of bifurcated opinion from the court where they're going to say the president does have immunity in some circumstances, not in others. They're going to try to identify that, parse it out, and so forth, and then that'll be the grounds under which the trial will be allowed, if it's allowed to go forward. That will be the grounds of which it will be allowed to go forward, but it will also be the same grounds that all other cases will have to abide by, because as soon as the Supreme Court defines what immunity is for a former president, this former president, who's the only person that all of this is being done for, this is the only man that, for whatever reason, these officials and, you know, opponents politically and so forth feel like they need to, they feel like that Donald Trump has such, I don't know, drawing power, that he's going to have to be stopped. Not by the people. They don't trust the people. None of the folks making these decisions believe that you and me, we the people, have the ability to select, vote, and determine our president and our future. Now, unless the court system goes way the opposite direction, I don't think that's how it's going to be left. I think that they understand the need for we the people to be able to weigh in, and if he is the leading, and he's not just leading front runner for the Republicans, he's leading the race for president. Rasmussen had him up 11 points on Friday nationally, highest he's ever been in that poll. The constituent groups for Trump and against Biden are all running the wrong way for Biden. He's run off African Americans, he's run off Latinos, and the southern border is a big part of all that, but he's run off suburban women. There's just really nobody that likes Joe Biden. They don't like his policies, they don't like what he's about, et cetera, et cetera. So if a court decides that Donald Trump has to go to jail, how can it not be considered election interference at this point in the game? It'll be interesting to see what happens. All right, we've got a very interesting show for you. It's Wellness Wednesday, and I hope you'll stick around for all of it. Kevin McCullough is my name, and I am very glad to have you here. It's Wellness Wednesday on Radio Not Live.
From the ReliefFactor.com studios, Relief Factor, it's real, it works, it is liberating over a million Americans right now, me included. Yes, I had a low back pain issue that plagued me for 9 years, almost a decade. Then I took Relief Factor. 2 weeks later, I was pain-free. But it's not just me. It's people like Yvonne from California. Listen to Yvonne's story. Both my husband and I are in our 70s and are so grateful to have found Relief Factor. We tried so many other solutions, but none of them have given us the freedom of being pain-free like Relief Factor. Just those two words, pain-free, should be reason enough for you to order the 3-week quick starter pack at relieffactor.com. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening like I do, and I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you. Like it works for me, Yvonne, and over a million of your fellow Americans. Call right now, 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800-473-5433. Or go to relieffactor.com.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or odyssey.com.
All right, we promise you that every single week you're going to get a question answered from the one and only Mike Connors of Connors & Sullivan, Attorneys at Law. They are the, I think, the nation's foremost, just top of the line when it comes to estate care and elder law and all the rest that goes into end-of-life planning. And this week's question comes from Steve from Middle Village. He says, how do I keep my assets in the family and protect my children's inheritance from their spouses, ex-spouses, creditors, and other future claims? Sounds like a messy situation, Mike Connors.
Yeah, I know. I mean, the question is whether Steve wants to rule from the grave or not, and it sounds like he does. And if he wants to rule from the grave, then he needs a person or entity to act as a trustee for him to manage it so the assets don't go straight to the kids, so where the kids don't give it to their spouses or ex-spouses, and so forth. So basically, he has a trust that may last for a generation or two. In New York, we can have a trust run for approximately 100 years in most cases. If you go to a state like Florida, you can have a trust run for 999 years. I don't know why anybody would want to do that, but you know, those options are available. I mean, who's going to be around 1,000 years from now if we even have the same economic system or whatever? But yeah, we can have a trust in New York run for a good, you know, probably 100 years. It's a life and being plus 21 years. So you could have the youngest of my grandchildren passed away, or, you know, till the last of my grandchildren passed away plus 21 years, which if you have a grandchild who's not too old, obviously that could be 100 years from now. New York limits it to a life and being plus 21 years, which is getting back to law school stuff. But in any event, we can have a trust last for 100 years and protect you from all those what ifs if you want.
All right, Steve, I hope that's helpful. And here's the number, friends, if you've got a question, 718-238-6500, and get yourself an appointment. Talk to Connors and Sullivan's incredible team. They've helped so many of the AM970 The Answer and WMCA family, and I know that they can help you. 718-238-6500. Send those questions to askmikeconnors@gmail.com, and then be listening Saturday mornings at 8 o'clock on AM 570 and 102.3 FM The Mission, WMCA, or catch them Sunday mornings at 11 on AM 970 The Answer. Mike Connors, thanks so much.
Thank you, Kevin.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or odyssey.com.
Charlie Kirk says they did this to themselves.
For the past 20 or 30 years, university campuses have been teaching a very specific worldview, that the world is broken between oppressors and oppressed. This is a Marxist way of viewing the world. These universities are being enveloped by a beast of their own making.
The Charlie Kirk Show, weekdays at noon, right before Dennis Prager at 1 on AM 970. The Answer. Our hosts tell it like it is. No safe spaces here. AM 970, The Answer.
Ooh, what a little moonlight can do.
It's Radio Night Live. Here's Kevin McCullough.
And you know, on Wednesdays, we love to talk about the things that make us more well, give us better health, etc. And I am very, very honored to have some really pedigreed people step up with their knowledge and contribute to this discussion. My guest tonight is no stranger. Dr. Mark Siegel is a longtime recognized medical authority. You hear him on Sirius XM Radio. You see him on Fox News. He's also part of the Langone Medical Network, and he rejoins us. Doc, it's always good to talk to you, and you are so busy. I'm just always grateful that you take time for my audience, because I know that they really benefit from what you tell them.
I love talking to you, Kevin. I think you're really, really on the ball and really enjoy the interviews.
Good. Well, you said you put something up just a couple of days ago on Twitter about multiple sclerosis, MS, and it had been a while since that disease or condition had crossed my radar screen, but I will tell you, I have a very personal connection to this subject matter in that when my mom died of cancer in high school, the woman that kind of took her place, my high school choir director, Mrs. Nichols, kind of moved into my life and just kind of looked out for me the way my mom did. But she suffered with very intense MS. And of course, the more stressed she got during the different seasons of the school, sometimes it would flare up and sometimes she would even go into, you know, being incapable of doing some of the things that she needed to do. What are the developments as we have noted them in recent months and years? What's the new thing in MS?
Well, I think the issue with MS is the recognition that it's an autoimmune phenomenon. We've been recognizing that for a while now, that a post autoimmune phenomenon that's related to Epstein-Barr virus a lot of the time can trigger MS in people that are susceptible to it to begin with. I think, I've been talking to the top researchers in the country about that lately, and including Dr. Stephen Hauser at UCSF, University of California, San Francisco. He's incredible, and he's doing major research on this, the antibodies that are produced that may lead to MS, and then identifying those antibodies may lead to more treatments.
For people that are hearing us but and may have heard the term but aren't completely familiar with the condition, what is it that it does? How does it impact the victim?
MS is a very variable disease, but think of it as the heart, the wiring and the coating on the wiring. I always think of it as the brain and the nerves are the wires, but right. Then wires have a coating. They have something insulating the wires. Well, with MS, that insulation breaks down. That's called the white matter of the brain or the spinal cord. And then the wires themselves or the nerves are more exposed, and they can short circuit more. That's a kind of a layman way to look at it. But what it leads to is sensory problems. It can lead to visual problems. It can lead to the discoordination. So there's a lot of symptoms related to MS that I guess you could call them soft signs, but any good neurologist, especially an MS specialist, be able to tell that right away. The treatments are inclined to decrease this inflammation and deterioration from the white matter from occurring. And Dr. Hauser was saying they're now looking at ways to block this with monoclonal antibodies that may actually lead to the rebuilding of the white matter, which is going a step beyond preventing progression.
Yeah, that would be a huge breakthrough, because I know for as long as my dear friend has struggled with it, that they've, you know, their talk has only been about slowing down the damage. And stress really does play a key role in this, does it not?
Well, stress can trigger exacerbations. We don't have a complete handle on the amount of stress or the amount of provocation, but definitely exacerbations can be related to that. We've had major breakthroughs with MS over the years in terms of using interferon-type drugs, and now which decreases immune responses. And now we're seeing, again, moving into the world of rituximab or monoclonal antibodies or biological treatments. So we're really getting there, making tremendous progress.
Is this condition hereditary? Do we know the cause of it? What is it at its essence that causes the victim to have it develop?
I mean, 4% of it has been found to be hereditary, but I think I look at it more overall as a genetic predisposition. They're called neurological families. Like, there's cancer families. There's families where the genetics of it predisposes you more to the problem occurring. So that's true to this subcategory of Epstein-Barr virus. So you have mono, you had a genetic predisposition to begin with, your chances of getting it increase.
Gotcha. For people that are just hearing us, and you said, you know, there may be some soft symptoms, like cancer, is early detection key to having treatment be effective, or are the treatments coming along so that, you know, even if you're relatively well-developed with the condition, that they will still make progress for you?
Both are true, but you want to diagnose it as early as possible and get treatment as early as possible. The first sign may be optic neuritis, which is, again, a problem with vision that's related to that, maybe in one eye. You have anybody with neurological symptoms at all, dizziness, balance problems,
right,
weakness, sensory problems, needs a full evaluation.
Well, that is, it is encouraging to hear about the antibody treatment, because I just know from my experience, and when, like so many kind of debilitating conditions, when you see them impact the people that you really care about, it's just really hard to deal with. My teacher was someone who was always so vibrant and capable and talented and was able to direct the choir and lead the drama group and do all the things that she did. And, you know, when her situation got considerably worse, and this was after I had graduated and moved on to college and had moved well past that stage of my life. But I would hear from friends of how much the debilitation had taken place. And then I went back to see her a couple of times, and it was noticeable. And I've prayed for a cure and a breakthrough, and I hope that we were going to make something in this direction. So I find this extremely encouraging.
I think we've gone a long way. The biggest breakthrough was Beta Siron when we started with Avanax and with Beta Siron and with those drugs. They changed the course of response to this.
Yeah.
And now we're getting to another level again. But it's understanding that it's a post-infectious immune autoimmunity that may be at the core of this. That's really the biggest breakthrough.
Do we really understand autoimmunity and where it comes from and how it even begins to express itself in the human
system? It's a variable to say that in one answer, you know, because a lot of times it's post-viral. Like with COVID, we saw a lot of it.
Get something, and then the aftermath of having had it, this develops from it.
Well, basically, your antibodies are there to protect you against something, but the antibodies can turn on you.
Yeah.
So the same antibodies that are there to protect you can then
attack you. Yeah. That's scary stuff. Dr. Mark Siegel is my guest. When we come back, there may be some improvement and some hope on a couple of other longtime health concerns. We'll talk about them next. Stay with us.
Keith Peters reporting the House has tabled Georgia Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene's effort to oust House Speaker Mike Johnson. Greene of Georgia pressed ahead with her long-shot effort despite pushback from Republicans at the highest levels who are tired of the political chaos. Donald Trump, his leader of the Republican National Committee, and other Republicans have warned Greene off the effort. At least 8 tornadoes have touched down in Ohio and 3 have been confirmed in Michigan as severe storms barreled through the central U.S., killing one man in Tennessee when a tree toppled onto a vehicle he was in. The National Weather Service says confirmed tornadoes touched down Tuesday in Ohio, including 5 in Warren County in the state's southwest region. On Wall Street, the Dow up by 172 points. More details at srnnews.com.
Like AM970, The Answer? Then don't forget to like us on Facebook. Interact with us. Share your thoughts about your favorite shows. Give feedback to our hosts. Share your opinion on hot topics. Learn about events and more. AM970TheAnswer.com.
Craving that signature Sunday sauce? Michael's of Brooklyn will make your place a must. Join Michael's of Brooklyn Sauce of the Month Club. Receive a different jar of Michael's of Brooklyn pasta sauce, homemade pasta and biscotti each month for 6 months. Make your home the place to be with Michael's of Brooklyn signature fresh marinara right in your home. Visit michaelsofbrooklyn.com and order online. That's michaelsofbrooklyn.com. Michael's of Brooklyn, serving the community since 1964.
Dennis Prager here. I invite you to join me on a Bible cruise this November, and I'll share fresh insights during these discussions, all while soaking up the sunshine and beauty of a tropical Caribbean paradise. Visit PragerBibleCruise.com.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
I was just speaking with our friend Alex Cancella over at Route 22 Toyota in Hillside, New Jersey, and they're offering memorable savings all month long. Qualified buyers can save big this month as they've got deals that save you up to $6,500 off, as well as 0% financing for up to 72 months on select models. Alex explained while 0% isn't something that most auto manufacturers are offering, they've got it available, and for 6 years, which is definitely memorable. Plus, Alex's team can structure a lease for qualified buyers on all your favorite Toyota models with zero down. 973-705-8905 to speak with someone about a brand new Toyota from Route 22 Toyota, where everyone drives with their goal for 100% credit approval. Get over to Hillside, New Jersey. Experience memorable savings all month long from Route 22 Toyota. Tell them Joe Piscopo sent you.
Offers and financing end June 3rd and are subject to primary lender approval on select new Toyota models through TFS. Not all buyers will qualify. See dealer for details.
I want to tell you guys about Relief Factor. Let's talk about a testimony that I was reading earlier. Leah from Ohio, she says one Sunday, Leah was sitting on a couch and in so much pain that she literally was in tears. That's when she decided to try Relief Factor. In just 8 days, she found relief and she continued to get better and better. She said in her quote, "I truly am amazed at this product." Anyway, I want you guys to go and give Relief Factor a try. Get started with the 3-week quick start for the low price, discounted price of $19.95. And I'm telling you guys, it's worth the money. If you're in pain, your back hurt, your neck hurt, you got inflammation overtaking you, taking over your life, $19 to fix it is a no-brainer. Go to ReliefFactor.com or call the number 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800, the number 4-RELIEF.
Breaking news and local news. Find it on our website, am970theanswer.com.
And now, from New York, back to Radio Night Live. Here's Kevin McCullough.
It's Wellness Night on Radio Night Live. Kevin McCullough, very honored to have Dr. Mark Siegel, who is the busiest man in all of medicine, because not only does he have a private practice that he keeps him busy, but then he's doing talk radio on Sirius XM. And you can hear a lot of his really, really good interviews with some of the leading researchers and practitioners on a whole wide range of topics. In fact, Dr. Siegel, you're the one who initially connected us with our guest, Quang Do, who was just with us last week, I think it was. And, you know, talking about MS reminded me of some of the breakthroughs that they're having with Alzheimer's. And it's really amazing what modern medicine is getting to these days, no?
There's a commonality of that, and Quang is involved in it. It's understanding that neuroinflammation is at the heart of something that occurs before you get the debris, essentially. And microgliosis, that's what Hauser was talking about, where the cells that are the support cells of the brain may actually cause that, be party to that autoimmunity occurring, where, you know, the cleanup crew provokes the immune response, the antibodies get involved. And that's true for Alzheimer's too. And a lot of money and a lot of effort has gone into the role of drugs that are anti-beta amyloid drugs for Alzheimer's, basically anti-plaque drugs. The plaque is beta amyloid. But there's also the tau protein that makes the tangles in the brain. And Hauser was saying he's thinking maybe that's more the direction of the future. And Quang Do was saying, well, you know, can we get at the inflammation before it occurs? And drugs that we use for rheumatoid arthritis, like they're called tumor necrosis factor drugs, Enbrel, Remicade, Humira, those drugs may have a future, or descendants of them, like Quang's talking about, where you block the cascade that causes the deterioration in the first place. Those may go hand in hand with using the plaque drugs.
Yeah.
But it's not a one-size-fits-all, and it's definitely not all in the camp of the plaque drugs, because they have too many side effects for a minimal effect. There's a lot of money tied up in that. There's a big industry building on that. You know, I guess you could argue, if somebody that's got Alzheimer's brewing, even if you get a 20% improvement, that's a big deal. But at what cost?
No, and to have the potential to actually reverse damage, that's where these new layers of medicine are really making strides.
Exactly.
I also noticed that you had written a little bit on, or you had a conversation about the potential for cancer to be treated with vaccines or vaccines related to the cancer experience. And there's more discussion of this. I remember when my mom was diagnosed, there was no discussion of this, but as the years have gone by, it seems to be something that continually kind of pops up every few months or so. Aside from the debate that already exists out there, you know, kind of in the RFK Jr. universe where vaccines are generally looked at with suspicion, aside from that discussion, do you think that cancer is the type of disease that a vaccine potentially could be developed for? And who would it be best to target with that? Would that be people with family history? You know, what's the practical use for a cancer vaccine?
I was just talking to Dr. Kimmelman about this the other day. He's the head of our Cancer Institute at NYU. And we're very, very, very into this right now. And this is definitely a wave of the future, which is that the technology that came out of the pandemic, the mRNA vaccines and others, maybe even a little bit more involved than mRNA, they're called siRNA vaccines, that we can basically do this. We can now look at the cancer and say, there's an abnormality on the surface of the cancer or deeper in the cancer, in the molecule itself. And can we alert the immune system to target it before it propagates, before it grows like mad, or even after it's grown like mad? And we've been doing that for a while, and it's called immunotherapy. But the interesting thing about approaching it in a vaccine way would basically be to do it before you even need immunotherapy. We tend to use immunotherapy late in the game after something spread, but you might be able to do it on someone who's high risk of a cancer because of a certain mutation. You give a vaccine that targets the protein that mutation causes, and you don't even develop the cancer, or you get it very early. So what a vaccine does, and I think we've had a lot of misinformation on this over the past few years, but what a vaccine does is it identifies something you don't want in your body, and it either prevents it from occurring or it stops it from spreading. That's the whole purpose of a vaccine. We certainly have those happening with cancer, and we're making major strides on that right now.
Well, when I speak with people from the more holistic side of the medical equation, they have been very high on immunotherapy for a long time. And I think that when I look at the options that cancer patients have now in terms of treatments, and I compare that to the relative, you know, handful of things that my mom had to choose from when I was in high school, there's no comparison. I mean, the advancements that have been made are really mind-blowing. Hold this thought. We're coming right back. Dr. Mark Siegel is my guest. It's Wellness Night on Radio Night Live. Stay here.
Hi, my name is Ryan Bourne.
And I'm Danica Bourne.
And we're the owners of South Coast Tax.
We started our company 10 years ago in an effort to help our fellow Christians experiencing tax issues resolve their matters by taking a simple three-step approach.
South Coast Tax are Christian-based tax accountants and attorneys that specialize in releasing bank levies, wage garnishments, and filing complex tax returns. We are the leaders in acceptance of offers and compromise with awesome results. We're also a small firm who will treat you like family, not just a number.
Call us today at 1-800-TAX-1176 for a free consultation, and we'll take the time to explain all of the programs that you qualify for in order to allow you a fresh start.
Proverbs 15:22 says, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. Call us today at 1-800-TAX-1176, and together, we can help achieve this goal by putting the IRS debt behind you for good. Again, that number is 1-800-TAX-1176.
There are sometimes when the kids go to bed and we just stay in the night talking about how hard the life it is for us. It's very hard to see my kids go to bed with hunger and not having something to give to them.
You can step into the despair of a mother like Lourdes. For the past 40 years, Food for the Poor has linked generous listeners like you to desperate families throughout the Caribbean and Latin America. Today, your generous gift is an answer to a mother's prayer for her children's survival. Right now, because of a meal for meal match, a one-time gift of $160 or just $14 a month provides four hungry children with food for the next year. So, how many children can you rescue? Make your gift safely and easily by calling 855-919-4673. That's 855-919-HOPE. Or click the red Give Life banner at am970theanswer.com.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
Hugh Hewitt explains what Israel is up against.
Israel wants to go into Rafah. It could go badly. Of course, every war can go badly. They don't have a choice. Right? They cannot leave between 10 and 20,000 armed Hamas terrorists in the tunnels of Hamas. As someone told me over the week, it would take 15 minutes for Hamas to retake Gaza if the IDF pulled out.
The Hugh Hewitt Show. Weekday mornings at 3, right before Joe Piscopo at 6 on AM 970. The Answer. Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com. America First with Sebastian Gorka. Weekday afternoons at 3 and evenings at 10 on AM 970. The Answer. And now, from New York, back to Radio Night Live. Here's Kevin McCullough.
All right, and we're back. We were talking about vaccines for cancer, and Dr. Mark Siegel is my guest. You may see him on Fox News. You may listen to him on Sirius XM. You may read his books. You may be one of his patients at NYC Langone. He's just that busy, and he's everywhere, and he generously spares time for us on a regular basis. Doc, let me ask you this question, because with RFK being in the presidential race and, you know, kind of I think he probably plays a spoiler for Biden in a more serious, direct way than he does for Trump. But there are certainly a lot of people that admire what he has had to say about vaccines. And, you know, he went after Dr. Fauci pretty harsh in his most recent book. And of course, Dr. Fauci has always been kind of I'm a big advocate for vaccines. He did it in the AIDS era. He did it in the COVID era. But that brings up the issue of in a situation where public health is an emergency, and COVID is our most recent example of this. Is it better for public health to concentrate on vaccine production, which we arguably did, or therapeutics? Because in the kind of aftermath of kind of the rearview window of looking back at where we went, there were a lot of people that said, had we spent more energy on therapeutics, maybe we could have saved more lives. Do you have a dog in this fight at all? And if you don't, that's fine too. I just thought it would be an interesting question for you.
Yeah, but you're not going to like my answer, Kevin.
How do you know that? You always say that. And most of the time I do like your answer.
Well, you're not expecting it. So
okay.
I think public health is about tools. And I don't think public health is about politics. And the other thing about public health is it's got to be based on expertise. And you need to stay in your lane, at least to begin with. RFK Jr., I've been on his show multiple times when he was doing Ring of Fire, and he's a really smart social reformer. When it comes to vaccines, he's out of his mind, and he's done a lot of harm.
Okay.
There's a couple of other topics I disagree with him on, too, but especially vaccines. He wrote a book with David Kirby years ago called Evidence of Harm, and I actually debated David Kirby about this book a few years afterwards, and it was whether the MMR vaccine caused autism, and Kirby admitted to me at the lecture, PBS lecture, that, you know, they were wrong, but at least they studied it. And I said, well, how many millions of dollars were spent in studying it that might have been used to look into what in the environment really was causing autism? Because we still don't know that. And so I think a lot of damage was done to an extremely helpful tool, the vaccine, during the pandemic. So much obsession, and some of it probably you even had on the show here, although you weren't a main proponent of this, for sure. You're an open-minded guy, which is why you asked me this question.
Right.
So much effort was spent fighting this vaccine because of side effects that, without bothering to tell the public, that all vaccines have side effects. And this vaccine was given to billions and billions of people and saved millions of lives. And yeah, it has side effects. But by the way, you know, it causes myocarditis likely, but COVID causes myocarditis way more and worse myocarditis. So, you know, my theory on vaccine side effects is that they tend to be the same kind of side effects that the virus itself causes, only less, or you wouldn't be giving the vaccine. And you certainly should have that debate. The debate was won in 1976 by the anti-vaxxers, and they won it because, you know what? They gave a swine flu vaccine that probably led to 800 to 1,000 cases of Guillain-Barré syndrome against a pathogen that didn't even exist.
Wow.
So that was clearly an overreaction, and that led to a lot of legal changes. But in this case, we were talking about a ferocious pandemic.
Yeah.
And as far as therapeutics are concerned, I think that way too much politics was spent attacking hydroxychloroquine when we didn't have anything else, and it seemed to have some effect. But I also think that Paxlovid is a tremendous drug. And I also think that the monoclonal antibodies are very effective.
Right.
And my friend Arturo Casadevall down at Hopkins thinks they didn't use convalescent plasma enough because it was so cheap that the pharmaceuticals weren't promoting it. So overall, I look at this way. Vaccines are great. Antivirals are great. Medicines with antiviral properties should be tried when you don't have anything else. And rapid testing is key. And the rapid testing really saved us, but it came too late. So it was way too much politics involved in this situation.
Well, there's no doubt. And the fact that it kind of hit in an election cycle was just amplified everything you just said about that. But I want to make something clear, because I don't want people to be confused. At this microphone, especially on Wellness Night, I did speak to everybody in the debate. And so,
yes,
you know, I had you, and what I found was interesting and very kind of reassuring was that you and Dr. Sapphire and Dr. McCary and Dr. Nishwat all came at it from your own perspectives, different backgrounds. I thought that the accumulation of the information and all of the voices being heard was actually beneficial for my listeners.
I want to say one thing about that, though, not about these doctors. I'm very friendly with Dr. Sapphire. I want to say something a little different, just if you don't mind indulging me on this. I think, though, that one of the reasons I was so comfortable with this was because I had studied flu for several years.
Right.
I had written three flu books, and I had been on panels discussing vaccine efficacy long before this pandemic. So I wasn't coming at it late. And then I studied COVID, and then I had a really lucky thing happen, which was I got inside access to CDC director, NIH directors, to Fauci himself. My conclusion on Tony was that he didn't stay in his lane enough.
Hmm.
But if you ask me what his lane actually is, it's vaccines.
Of course.
He's an immunologist. So he actually knows vaccines. And he talked to me about the mRNA vaccines long before they even came out. But when he got out of his lane, it was when he was talking about lockdowns and shutdowns and closures. So I think staying in your lane is important. And I don't like I mean, I like anything anybody says, right? I'm open-minded. But I think one of the problems with the pandemic was everybody with a microphone had an opinion.
Well, that's why I thought it was helpful to have, especially, you know, respected opinions represented. And I wasn't ever sure exactly which one I agreed with the most, because all of you guys are smarter than me. So what can it hurt to have the discussion as openly as possible? Hey, right. we've only got 20 seconds left, but you had just made a brief statement about TB on X this last week. And I'm sure that this is related to the California situation and the immigrants that have, we're having a lot of unvaccinated people coming with diseases that have been dead for a long time over the southern border. What's your take on how we should be handling that?
I think the border is a public health disaster. I think it's being miscast. Well, it's also a disaster in terms of having a porous border.
Yeah.
There's a political nightmare there, too. I mean, I think that the word asylum is being completely misused. I mean, you know, we're supposed to be a country with sovereign borders. We don't have them. But it's a public health emergency because you can't properly screen people. You're not screening them at all.
Yeah.
So if somebody comes from a country where there's not as much measles vaccine as I want, you think we're screening people for measles vaccination on the way across the southern border? We're not. Tuberculosis in Central America, they're partly treating it. So there's people coming across with resistant TB. You know, there's a lot of infectious diseases that worry me across the border. And Robert Redfield has told me he invoked Title 41, not only because of COVID, but because of other infectious diseases and his fear that the custom and border protection agents were going to be infected. He wanted to protect them.
No, that's well said. Dr. Mark Siegel, thank you for your time. Always appreciate you.
Great to be with you, Kevin. Thank you.
Kevin McCullough coming right back from New York. Stay here. Hi, Kevin McCullough. Wish there was an easier way to navigate the world of real estate. If only there was a way to learn from the best. Well, now there is. Saturdays at 10, our very own Dottie Herman, Vice Chair of Douglas Elliman, gives you the inside track to what is hot in real estate. Stay one step ahead in today's seller's market as Dottie gives her tips on how to make it through the tricky waters. Doesn't matter if you're new to the game or a seasoned vet. You need to listen to Eye on Real Estate. Dottie and her team of experts will guide you as sellers and buyers to make sure you're getting the best value for your property. Whether you want to become a real estate agent or work within the business, there is no better person to learn from than the great Dottie Herman. Why? Because she is the best. Period. So tune in, Eye on Real Estate, Saturdays at 10 on AM 970 The Answer. That's Eye on Real Estate, Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock on AM 970, The Answer.
Life insurance. Why are you putting it off? Can't afford it? Too much hassle? Think you don't need it? There's lots of excuses for putting off life insurance. But if you weren't there, who would pay the mortgage and other bills? With Ethos, you could be covered in 10 minutes and boom, family protected. Ethos, fast and easy online term life insurance. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Some policies as low as a dollar a day. Answer a few health questions and get your free quote at getethos.com. That's getethos.com.
War has played a key role in the history of the United States, from the nation's founding right down to the present. Wars made the United States independent, kept it together, increased its size, and established it as a global superpower. Hi, I'm James Early, host of the Key Battles of American History podcast. In each episode, I discuss American history through the lens of the most important battles of America's wars. To start listening now, go to ParthenonPodcast.com or search Key Battles of American History on your favorite podcasting platform.
We are proud, proud to serve. To serve our country, to serve our local communities, to wear the uniform, to be a soldier. To serve abroad when and where duty calls. We are ready to stand with our brothers and sisters to defend, to serve, to fight. We are always ready. We're always there. We are the New York Army National Guard.
Sponsored by the New York Army National Guard.
From breaking news and weather across the country to insight from the brightest minds in conservative opinion, it's Salem News Channel.
home to the biggest shows on TV, like Sebastian Gorka, weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, followed by Stacey Washington at 5. Join SNC, where facts are sacred, critical thinking is celebrated, and the pursuit of truth is unwavering. Watch Salem News Channel free now on Zumo Play. Learn more at snc.tv/Zumo.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or odyssey.com.
Brandon Tatum is next on AM970, The Answer. Once again, from New York, here's Radio Night Live and Kevin McCullough.
All right, Kevin McCullough on the Wellness Wednesday edition. Much chuckling at myself here. I ran across this story in the break. This is being put out by, I'm not seeing where the study has come from, but a published study recently stated that women who have their last child after age 33, this is statistically verifiable. This is what they've studied by looking at it. Women who have had their last child after the age of 33 have doubled their chance of living till 95 or older. Another study, published contemporaneously with that one, showed women who gave birth after 40 four times more likely to live to 100. So if you have your last child after 33, you are more than twice the chance of living to 95. And if you give birth after 40 to your last child, you are likely to live, you're four times more likely to, you double your chance to make it to 100 years old. It's just so interesting to see that, because we tend to run in the opposite direction. And I don't know which is actually, you know, I don't really have criticism either way. I always thought if you married young, have your kids early so that you can enjoy a lot of adulthood after they're out. And you're still young enough to go and pursue and do things. This study would seem to say that that doesn't really matter all that much. Although you're not as spry in your 90s and 100s as you are in your 40s and 50s. Now, what I would like to have known also is, in the study, how many children did they have prior to their last one? Because if you just have your last one after these ages, that seems to be how the study looked at it. But I'm curious, if it's your only child after that age, what's the chances? My guess is these are likely to be women that have more than one child, and it just so happened that the last one came after those benchmarks. And if people knew that, I think maybe there would be a little less pressure about, you know, performance anxiety and all the rest. It's okay, have your baby. And if you have them after 33 as a female, you're more than double the chance to live to 95, and if you have it after 40, you are four times more likely to make it all the way to 100. Pretty cool. All right, if you missed any of tonight's show, please go get the Radio Night Live podcast. It's available everywhere Kevin McCullough podcasts are available. Every podcast outlet that carries Kevin McCullough Radio gets Radio Night Live, and you can get it from any of them. Tune in, iHeart, and go to the AM970 The Answer webpage. I'm Kevin McCullough. Thanks for being with us. Tomorrow we talk legal issues, and then we close out the week with a fun Friday and a little bit of a preview of the Yankees and Mets. Don't miss that one. We'll see you soon.